So I just put this recording separately from the rest of the class. And if you want to do just a meditation, you can just have the link for the meditation itself. And then the rest of the class is another link. Any thoughts or questions about this meditation or about anything else?
I have a question. I can't find you on my screen to make eye contact there. I'm sorry. I'm glad you did that recording separate. I still am not sure how I can use it though, because when you're in those moments, there's so many different emotions that I don't know. I thought, oh gosh, I need to probably breathe. But like, you're in the moment and it's, I wish it would work and I hope it will work. But I noticed you said, how does your breath feel? I think you said, does your breath feel sad? Does it feel pleasant? Does it feel so, like, I feel like before I start it, I already know what I feel. You know what I mean? I'm feeling sad or I'm feeling anxious or yada yada. But so is it just the idea of like a more awareness of that and almost an acceptance of that, and that that's going to help?
You bring up so many good topics, really. First, I think like when we do it more regularly, we can do it also at any time. So we develop the awareness of like just really doing it, like the habit of doing that. Then we can do it on the spot right away, and we just like can really get into our energy field right away. Second thing, like you mentioned that you are aware of your emotions before the breath, before even checking the breath, which is great. It's beautiful. Now your mission or your challenge would be to check how does the breath feel in correlation to the emotion that you have. So like really to develop the subtlety, or to develop the awareness to the subtlety of this emotion, which manifests in the breath. Does it make sense?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I know I'm like with anxiety, I'm breathing kind of shallow, and even like my heart is kind of pounding too fast. And those are the times when I feel like I'm usually doing something and it seems really not silly, but inconvenient to stop what I'm doing, because what's causing me that stress sometimes is it needs to be done. And I feel like I'm going to feel much better when the task is over, and I can't just walk away and be like, I got to go breathe.
But you don't need to go.
Okay.
Yeah? You don't need to go. You can stay and breathe at the same time. And this is why we want to do it even when we are not anxious, because then we get used to do it. When we are anxious, we can apply it right away. So I would advise, in a moment of being anxious, don't leave everything and go to a space to do meditation, but also don't continue without awareness. So you can stop literally for 5 breaths.
Okay.
Just 5 breaths. And then it's like, pay attention. Let it be. Don't force anything on the breath. Just let it be. And pay attention to it. And it will regulate itself. And then continue doing what you need to do, but with the awareness of the breath.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's like I wash the dishes or I do all these things that I need to do, but I'm also having one eye on my breath at that time.
Okay. Okay. And so the idea is breathe in and maybe think about how you're feeling. And then when you breathe out, try to relax it out, or.
This was the first part of just relaxing. Then what the practice itself is just paying attention to the breath. Okay. Like not thinking about the emotion. This is something different. We don't want to think about the emotion because this will just bring us more. This is a good question because there is a difference between thinking and being aware. Yeah. Okay. Thinking is like I kind of engage with a mental process. Being aware is like taking a step back and paying attention to what's happening.
Okay.
So it's like the practice is to pay attention to what's going on. What's going on right now with my breath. Not what's going on in my mind. Not what's going on, what is going to happen if I will not do this job properly. And what's going to happen if I will not make it on time. These things are actually bringing more anxiety and bringing more of these negative feelings.
Okay.
Just taking a step back from that and just seeing like, okay, what's really happening right now is that the breath is getting in the nostrils. I feel it in the nostrils. I feel it out of the nostrils. I feel it in the chest. It's shallow. I almost can't feel it. Maybe I feel it too much. Maybe it's too intense. Just like shifting the awareness from the thoughts, from the emotions, to the breath itself, to the subtlety of the breath.
Okay.
Yeah. Making sense?
Yeah, sounds really hard.
Yes, it is. But with a practice, yeah. With a practice regularly on a daily basis, it becomes more and more accessible.
Okay.
I agree with you, it is hard, it's not easy.
One other thing though, I did notice, like when you told us to pay attention to different parts of our body, like parts of my body are like always sore. And so the breathing almost helped. It helped kind of make it less sore. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Just knowing it was there and kind of like, almost like your description of a mother.
Yes.
I mean, there's no physical reason why it should feel less sore, really, but it did help.
Yes. There is like what we do with our awareness, we can change our body and our physical sensations. It's just like the mind has so much power. If we think about and what is your favorite, how is the weather like? Is it hot now?
It's getting warm, but I'm kind of happy it's raining today.
Let's say we imagine kind of a hot chocolate cake. Yeah. Like it's rainy outside, it's a bit chilled, and I have like this chocolate cake in my mind, and it's like it's have a bit of like a bit of an ice cream next to it, and it's really like it smell really good, and I can really smell it. Can you smell it? Can you feel it in your mouth already? Yeah. So it's just about the mind can change our body. There is no cake here. There is just like us talking, but then still we have something happening in our body. Mm-hmm. Same way, if we are paying attention to the subtlety of our sensations, like you just mentioned, we actually change the physical body we heal the body with the mind. Mm-hmm. This is really healing. Yeah. Okay. So it's making sense what you are saying.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm going to walk around with that video on all the time. No, I'm just kidding.
Thank you for your questions. They are really important. Anyone volunteer? Maybe Jason, please, can you volunteer to read the quote for today?
Can you hear me all right? Even if someone says all sorts of derogatory things about me and proclaims them throughout the universe, in return, out of loving kindness, to extol that person's qualities is the practice of a bodhisattva.
Yes, great. So thank you, Jason. Let me just put it again for the people who joined later. I know how many of us are not speaking native English speakers. There are a couple of words that I didn't know before, and I needed like a dictionary for them. So the girl, how to read this word? All sorts of
derogatory.
Yes. So what does it mean, Jason?
Bad things, negative things.
Yes, great. So, and then another word that was a bit difficult, I didn't know, maybe other people also don't familiar with, to extol. What does it mean to extol?
To proclaim, to accentuate, declare, emphasize.
Yes. Okay. So this is a bit of an English lesson from Jason. And we have a few things here. It's like probably all of you see that like this is kind of we are dealing with four different things that how to deal with these things in our daily life. And Lojong is basically how to deal with our mind, like to train our mind. And this is Lojong text. And what we are reading is a Lojong text. And so part of training our mind is meditation, like we were doing just a moment ago. But many of our training the mind is actually by the attitude that we have and the way that we act in life. And in the last three verses, we were actually focusing on how to deal with loss in the when someone is stealing something from us or something like that happens. Then last time, how to deal with suffering. And today, how to deal with disgrace. And how to deal with like kind of a loss of respect or disrespect that we have in our life. And then the next one will be to deal with how to deal with being belittled. Yeah, being belittled or being humiliated. Yeah, thank you. From Israel, from Israeli to Israeli, help. Thank you, Shira. So humiliated. So four different things. You see, this is what's so beautiful about the Lojong text. It really teaches us how to deal with day-to-day difficulties. It's always happening to us that we have some loss, that we have some suffering, that we have some disgrace or disrespect, or that we have some kind of a point where we are belittled by someone or by a situation. So it's such a practical text. It's not a text that is like just above there for like for people who renunciate life and like go to the cave and meditate all day long. It's a practice that it's practices that for people who live life. And this is like the people of Vajrayana And they were very much like a very separate sect or kind of a stream of thought of people who actually stayed in society, stayed connected to civilization, but they were able to practice the spirituality in these ways that is that are described in this text in their daily life and in the situation, the relationships with others. Now, one thing that is really going like a repetitive motif in this text is the practice of extend yourself with others. And we saw the example with the other, with the meditation, Tonglen, but also we can practice that without like the Tonglen, just really thinking, how would it be like to be in the shoes of the other person? So I remember that one of my first encounter with Buddhism was in Israel, and I listened to me and Pazit, we went together to a lecture. It was kind of a lecture for therapists about Buddhist psychology. And this was a Tibetan nun. I think her name is Rita. You can find her on YouTube, a very fascinating dharma that she's giving. And she's a Tibetan nun. I think she's from Australia originally. And she speaks about, I went to see her in Tel Aviv. She was kind enough to kind of get people like a one-on-one session, let's say. And I was really fascinated with what she had to say in the Dharma. And I went to see her. And there was a horrible, horrible noise outside. It's like, you know, this machine that like blow the leaves. Yes, it's like it have such a strong sound, and it's like, and it was the first floor, and it was hot. It's like humid Tel Aviv, middle of the summer, and this guy outside is blowing this thing, and I cannot hear her because she's such a soft woman, and she's speaking a very soft voice. I don't even know what she's saying. And like, it was like, I think like something like 15 years ago. So my English, even though today it's not as much better, it was even worse. And I was listening, it's like struggling. And it's like, and I saw that she got annoyed as well because of this noise. It was really like, such a headache. And at the end of the session, like kind of just before the end of the session, she was saying, it's like this horrible noise, but you know, it's like poor this guy that need to operate this machine. And he's working all day long, blowing these things. Tomorrow the leaves will be again, and he will need to do it again. And such a headache, and he's probably not getting much money for it. And today, actually, it happened again. It's like they have a construction site just next to us, and they're building, and it's like, oh, I try to do my meditation, and there's like boom, boom, and like from both sides, from right and left, like two different construction sites. And I got annoyed and pissed, and then I said to myself, like, I got to remember with this thing of this nun, and I said to myself, oh, exchange yourself with others. These Cambodians working all day long. It's hot. It's hell hot here. It's like 40 degrees, humid. They work outside with these machines for maybe $100 a month. It's like very, very difficult situation. And I am complaining about the noise because I want to do my meditation. You see how ridiculous it is? And it's like, this is the thing. It's like, we are so narcissistic and so egocentric that we don't even understand that there is so much that is happening, and the other person is suffering much more than us. So it's such a good reminder, like exchange yourself with others. So it's like someone in the shop, we go to the shop and someone is really scared or like afraid or and like maybe rude in the way that he or she answers to us or behave. And it's like, instead of like just getting angry right away and like thinking about ourselves, like going into the other person's shoes and see how, exchange yourself with the other. Oh, probably they had like, it's like being in this situation, they feel very intimidated, feeling very stressed out, and like, and see them as well, not seeing only ourselves, not seeing everything just from the perspective of me. Broadening our understanding and our perspective, and seeing things not from also from the other person's point of view. Exchange yourself with other. So this is coming back again and again in this text, and it's coming back again in this verse as well. So let's see if someone is saying something. And this is, by the way, when you exchange yourself with others, you create a natural compassion. Yeah, something that is like, oh, I know how it's like. If I would do in this work, in this heat, I would probably be very, very annoyed and so on and so on. And so we right away get compassion towards the other person because we know how is it like to be in different situations. So in this text, we speak about when someone is saying all sorts of things about us. Yeah. When someone is saying things that are very like not nice. And what we would say, what we would do usually, right away, we would also, our natural, maybe our natural response would be for these critics or this disrespectful attitude of someone, we would bring back in the same coin. Yeah, we will say something to this person as well. Yeah. Or even if we are not going to say that out loud, we will think that. Yeah. I thought about it today. I will finish this sentence and I'll speak about thoughts in a second. So when we are doing that, we are actually creating a cycle. Like in the last verse and the verse before that, when we are bringing back negativity, we answer negativity with negativity, we create more negativity. We feed the negativity and create more tension. But when we have an opportunity to do something completely different, it's like persons are coming and saying some negative things about me, and I say good things about them. How wonderful it is. And it's an attitude that the other person would stop for a moment. And maybe he will stop saying all these bad things about us because we don't like fight back. We don't play the game that they are playing. We are actually coming out from, you know, in a good place. And this is a break of a pattern, a break of a cycle that we can create just by responding with positivity. Someone would come with negativity, we respond with positivity. How powerful it is. It's so powerful. Yeah. Instead of like getting into the fight and getting into the anger and getting into all of these things, and we get into a place of like, okay, now I'm not participating in this vicious cycle. I'm cutting the cycle. Yeah, it's very difficult. This is why it's a practice. It's like, this is why it's mind training. It's like the mind would like to do something else, for sure, to say some nasty things back, or to get aggressive, or to get depressed, or to something like that. But no, if I come enlightened into this situation, then I can actually change not only myself, I can change the attitude of the other person as well. Now, the thoughts are really important as well, because like I just woke up with this thing today about the thought that they have so much power. The thoughts have so much power. It doesn't matter if I answer to the person out loud or if I'm just thinking about it. And it doesn't matter if it's this situation where the other person is saying nasty things. When we have negative thoughts and when we think something, we actually create energy that is projected into the universe. It's very powerful. It's like to think about how we are actually create tension with people just with thoughts. Yeah. I have these negative thoughts about someone, even in a relationship that I have for many years. It's like I have like another, especially in this relationship that someone really knows me. And I have negative thinking and I'm not even saying anything. The other person will feel it right away. And it's not only that the other person will feel it, the other person will also react to that and maybe think negatively as well. So it's like kind of having ripples, having effect on others in a tremendous way. So it's so important to work on our positivity and like our openness and our like our mind, positive mind, and project something positive towards ourselves, towards the universe, towards our relationships, and even for people, like we said many times, like can we have as the first thing that we think about someone else when we see someone else, may you be happy. Just may you be happy. Just, not something complicated. Some positivity out there, and it's like we can be in a kind of projector of light and positivity in this world. And oh my God, the world need that. Yeah, we need that so much. We need these people. We need this projector. We need this light. We need this positivity. So. This text is an invitation to behave like that and to work on our thoughts and to shift ourselves into a positive mind. And this way, the others around us will also become positive as well. So let's say this person is saying a bad thing about us, like we have in the verse. The first thing is like to ask, is it right or wrong? Is it true? Maybe this person is saying bad things about us, and it's true. And maybe his intention or her intention is not good. It doesn't matter in this case. What matters is like, let's check. Maybe there is something in what the other person is saying. It's like, you don't have to take it into like very dramatic examples where someone is really humiliating you in front of everyone. It's like, even just like your partner or your best friend or saying something that is like insulting you, that is offending you, but right away, our response usually would be either to reject that in one way or another, to reject that. But there is an invitation here. Maybe this person is saying these things, but it's really true. And if it's true, we can do something about it. And if it's true, it means that this person becomes our teacher. Even if their intention is not good, they say something bad about us, but they open us for ourselves, something that we didn't know, we were not aware of, and now we can work on this thing, and now we can improve ourselves, and now we can become aware of this thing, and thanks to this person. And therefore, in return, out of loving kindness, we are going to extol that person's qualities in the practice, as a practice of the bodhisattvas. We're going to say all of these good things about them, because they really open our eyes to something that we didn't know about ourselves. So this is one scenario. One other scenario, maybe it's not true. Well, maybe what they said is not true. Now, if it's not true, so it's not true. That's it. It's very simple. If it's not true, why should we be angry? Why should we become aggressive about it or reject that, and or become like kind of agitated from that? If this person is saying something that is not true, okay. It's like, who cares? And this is the thing. It's like, it's really a shift from what other people say about me to what I know about myself. What is important? What other people say about me or what I know about myself? This is the question that we have here. And it's a really, really difficult thing. It's like really going against all what we are conditioned. So it's like someone would say something like this in front of everyone, and who will be really injured by this situation? The ego will be injured. The ego will be intimidated. We say, no way that people will think about me like that, and I'll fight and do all of these things in order to change that. But we saw years and years and years, and we keep on seeing that people are keep on killing each other, hurting each other, going into wars just because of that. The way that they will be perceived, the respect, the ego, the way, the like the, this little self that is so narrow. Yeah. So, and you wouldn't go to a war for the soul. The soul is eternal. Yeah. It's like you wouldn't initiate a war from your side if you are confident in the essence of your soul. You would go only if you are insecure. And insecurity doesn't come from the soul, it comes from the little self, comes from the ego. Yeah. So when I say something, let's say this thing is not true, but I say about this thing, about this person, a very good thing. So you say, I just like really praise them, and I say how beautiful they are and so much qualities they are. But what they said is not true. And someone say something nasty about me, and I say, oh, this person is such a good person. He's like, he's an amazing person. He has such a good qualities. But what he said was not true. Would you believe me if someone would say bad thing about me, and I say, oh, this person is a nasty person, he's ugly, and he's like, this is have no integrity, and he's such a low life, and what he's saying is not true, and so on and so on. Or if I would say, oh, this person is an amazing person. He actually is like, he's such a beautiful person. But I think in this situation, he's wrong. It's not true what he's saying. Yeah. It's just as like, see how is it different? It's like, what is more powerful? It's like, it's not about being weak. A bodhisattva is not a weak person. A bodhisattva is the most supreme person, you know, the person that can really like immerse in reality, making love with life, enjoying life, having so much power, can change the whole world, can save all sentient beings. this is a bodhisattva. He's not such a weak person that is like, he's even not turning the other cheek. It's not about that. It's about being so open and so anchored in your truth, so that you don't even need to play the ego game. Yeah? This is a bodhisattva. So, and this is the practice that is recommended to us here. And so,
Kobe?
Yes.
This one, I don't know if you've already answered this, but I'm just trying to put out a story now. So sometimes I feel that if somebody is saying something hurtful, it's not really the hurtful thing that is hurting, but it's more the fact that this person does not know me well enough to know that it's not true. And the fact that they sort of, I feel that sometimes they really let me down because I have been giving them so much of my life and telling, like being really open, and then they can still end up in this situation where they just completely misinterpret me. So it's not really the thing that they say, but the fact that they don't know me well enough, or yeah, they haven't understood me well enough. Does that make sense?
This makes a lot of sense, and I can relate to that in many, many ways. And what we can do in this situation, a person is doesn't really know me, doesn't really saw me, and he says something that can, it shows that this person doesn't really see me. And what we can do in this kind of line of thought is to have the invitation and the opportunity to understand, this person didn't really see me. What can I do that the person can see me better? How can, maybe there is something that I can do differently so that the person will be able to see me as a person who I really am. And if they don't, if you become aware of that and you take this in an invitation, it's like to get even closer to the person and get a better connection so that the person really see you and really know you. And this person does not take this invitation, does not really respond to that, and keep on being not understanding and not receiving all of these things, keep on disappointing us. So then it's like we said in one of the previous verses, this is a bad company or a bad friend, and we need to let go of this friendship and like to move on. But we owe to ourselves to give it a chance, because maybe this person cannot see us because we didn't let them see in us, or maybe we gave too much, you know, maybe we gave them too much and we didn't enable them to like to fight for this relationship, to be present, like active, proactive in the relationship. There are many, many scenarios, many different things that can happen in a relationship. So we check ourselves, we see, if I will change a bit the direction and do something different in this relationship, how would it be? And then if it's one way, and then I try another way, and if it doesn't work, probably it's not me. Probably it's the other person. But I give it a try from my end to have the opportunity to get closer, because this disappointment, it can go either way. It can go either to break the relationship and not to have any relationship, or it can actually make this person the best friend that you had in your life. Yeah?
Yes, thank you.
Really good question. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so does it make sense, this verse is like really, does it sound difficult? Does it resonate? How does it sound to you guys?
For me, it makes a lot of sense. I do I think it's very similar the way I usually try to think of things, obviously not always with success, but it's a little bit different. I think the thing that hurts me when there is an interaction like that is not the content, and it's not the unknown, like the lack of communication, is the intent to hurt. The fact that there is another person who the intention is to hurt, that's what hurts me. Like, as you said, when someone says something that is true or false, but the intention is not bad, is not to hurt me, then I don't get hurt usually. I usually either say, I don't think it's true, or I say, well, thank you for saying that. I think when someone says it with bad intentions, that's where it hurts the most. And I think that as well, I find it harder or more challenging to deal with people who talk about others, not about me. Yes. When someone talks about other people badly, whether they say true things or false things, but I feel like the way it's being said is not in a good way, then I find it very hard to find the right way to react. And I feel that I should react in some way.
Yes, yes.
And many times I try to use this thing that you said about putting myself in other people's shoes. I think it's a great way to create empathy, and empathy is something that really helps to stay positive, to not create anger towards the other side, and to just not feel like it's the other side. Feel like it's just another point of view, another side, but not another side of me, like not from me, but of me. But yeah, I feel like I have the tools to work when someone hurts me, whether or not I am successful with implying them or not, it's something else, but this is a practice and about doing these things a lot and practicing them a lot until it becomes more intuitive and more instinctive to do them. But when it's about other people, then I find it, I don't know, more of an enigma.
Such a great comment. And I think that I was one of my classes, I was doing a younger teacher training in China. And it was like such a special thing to do. It's like we had like 70 Chinese women and me, an American teacher. And most of the Chinese women younger than me and flexible, like probably they were training for the Olympics or something. So I was looking like kind of a very clumsy man amongst all these like acrobats. And there was one day that we were speaking about integrity and like speaking about a younger himself. And different aspects of yoga. And one of the students brought up another teacher that was involved in a sexual assault or something like that. And the teacher right away jumped, like almost barked at the student. He said, in this community, we don't speak about other people in a bad way. And I also was engaging in this kind of conversation before about this same individual that the student was asking about. And when she said that, it's like, wow, it's like it was so powerful. And the way, the assertiveness that she said that, And it was, this is the other side of compassion. Compassion is not only being soft. Compassion is not only being the mother who like nourish the child. Compassion is also being saying, no, this is not the way that we act. And I think it's very appropriate to say, when someone is speaking something bad about someone else, say, I'm sorry, I'm not engaging in this conversation. So it would just bring us more respect. If anything, it would bring us more respect. It's not, it's like if other people wouldn't want to engage with us because of that, it's probably not the people for us. Yeah. So it's like saying in a very, very assertive way, very, it's like, it's not even like saying, I don't want to speak with you. Just, I'm not speaking about these things. I'm not engaging in this conversation. Let's move on to the next topic. I'm being very clear about that. This makes the whole change. It's like you don't need to engage with some gossip and some like negativity that you don't want to. Yeah, and it's difficult to do. It's not easy, but I appreciated her so much to do that. She changed something in my mind just in a moment, just in the way that she reacted to this question. Well, it's easy. It's easy to go for that. It's easy. It's like about everything. It's like just last time and the time before that and the time before that and the time before that. I was very critical about Netanyahu. Yeah, it's like about politician decision making and this is it's a habit. It's something that is really difficult to control. It's like we like to complain. It's part of human nature to complain and to engage with negativity and like to be to gossip. It's very easy for us to go there, and it's not so good, because it's like other response to that as well. It's like they go to this place as well, and they start gossip as well, and like being negative as well. And instead, like just like cutting it and like saying, no, I'm not engaging with that. This is not really my style. This is something that is, and it's not that she didn't condemn the actions. Like, she didn't say sexual assault is okay. And she was willing to speak about sexual assault in yoga and how it's actually happening in many cases, but without names, without like disgracing someone specifically. You can speak about the phenomena, you can critique the society, but not like go and like start gossip and complain about one particular person, because this is like, we say in Hebrew, you know, "Achaim v'mavet bidei lashon." It's like the speech has a power to either to give life or to take life. Yeah, it's like I can say something about someone, and then even you, without knowing this person, will not want to engage with this person anymore because you've heard such bad things about them. Yeah. So it's like we can really hurt someone by gossiping and negative speech behind their back. It's a whole theme in Buddhism, and it will come back in this text again later on. But thank you, Shira. It's a good dilemma. It's happening a lot. It's like, after you do it once or twice or three times, the people just know that they don't speak about these things when you are around. And like the conversations are much, much more positive.
But I think this is also a problem. If people keep talking about it, they just choose not to talk about it around me, then it's like what have I didn't do anything.
It's a lot. It's you did a huge amount. You if they speak on keeping talking about that first you cannot control them, you cannot change the way that they behave and the way that they think, and it's not our job to change them. Yeah, it's like but you can help them just if they will think about it, if they will engage in some thought in their mind, maybe this is wrong to speak like that. You've done more than enough. And also you changed a lot by the way that when they are with you, they generate more positive thinking. And then they think to themselves, oh, maybe there is an opportunity for them to understand, oh, when we are with Shira, we speak only very good, positive things. And then when they will be attracted more to this kind of interactions, and maybe we'll stop speaking about that. We don't know. We don't know for sure that they will continue. There is a possibility that they will change, but we don't force this change. We just invite. How? By our role modeling.
Thank you.
Thank you, Shira.
Can I say something?
Yes.
During this whole talk, I've been thinking of two kind of expressions that I always try to live by, and I'm trying to teach my daughter. And the description here is we use the words kill them with kindness. So like, they don't expect that, right? But if you do that, it almost throws them off a little bit. So maybe they're going to think it, but like, also it means it's an opposite reaction. And then you almost feel better when you walk away too, because you haven't or like when actually I first thought of it, when somebody says you have to engage with somebody who's always negative, or I'm thinking of people like at work that you have to have a relationship with maybe, but it's always da 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 da. So those are the people I would say I just kill them with kindness, and they're left like, and a lot of times they'll kind of turn or be more receptive. And then the other expression was, just the whole empathy thing, just always like give people the benefit of the doubt. Like, you have no idea what happened when they woke up this morning, or all those things. And so it just makes it more, it makes it easier to accept kind of difficult people for me. So like even in traffic, I noticed some people in my family just think these people are horrible because of maybe they're cutting them off or whatever. And I'm like, you know, it could be an emergency. It could be, you could be doing that to get somewhere quick. Or people that are driving too slow, I'm like, you know what? They're probably lost. Like, we're always lost and having to look at our GPS and a map and, you know, just, you just don't know. So I just thought I'd share.
Thank you for sharing.
There is actually social research behind what all of these things that you said, but I'm just going to concentrate on one of them, which is a social researcher by the name of Brené Brown that I've mentioned a couple of times. She actually says that, suggests, like, can you walk around assuming that the people are doing the best they can? And then she actually said that she had a lot of struggle herself with accepting that and going around with that attitude, and talked to her husband about it. And her husband said, and she said, well, do you know that there always are? And he said, I don't know, but my life is better if I walk around with that attitude and assume that people are doing the best they can. Just like a small thing.
Thank you, Mira. Such a beautiful cat that Claudia has. Wow. What's her name or his name?
Marmite.
Yes.
Daughter named him. It's my daughter's cat. And she was 6 when we got him, so Marmite was her favorite thing.
Cool.
She's now 13.
13. Very nice.
It always comes out of the cupboard when you're speaking.
Yeah, they feel good energy, kids. Yeah. Okay. Really, really nice to speak with you guys. It's such a privilege. And think about it. Take it as a practice, both the breath that we spoke about, and also it's like see how your positivity affect other people in the next couple of days before we meet again on Wednesday. We'll be happy to have some sharing time about it. Okay. Namaste, everyone. See you soon.